Hi, I'm Lanny.
I'm Chud.
And this is the world as it is today. Hey, here we are again.
Yeah, it's been over a month, you say.
I think.
I rely on you because I don't look at calendars.
I didn't actually look, and I was wrong the last time I said something like that. So
I wonder if anyone listening to this knows that I only have a 1996 calendar this year.
I thought we have a 1967 calendar as well.
Oh, we do. I have other wrong years.
Yeah, so it was fine. But they line up with the days of the week. The moon cycle's wrong.
Moon cycle's off.
Yeah.
Ooh, moon's coming up tomorrow.
We have, but I don't know when I'm going to actually put this out, so it might be after, but there's a lunar eclipse coming up on the 25th of March, and then there's a solar eclipse coming up on the 8th of April.
Yep.
Yeah. Wow. Wowza. So I don't know if you're into that or you're going to divert your eyes for spiritual reasons or stare at it for spiritual reasons, but whatever the case, if you find anything interesting, you know, we're always excited to hear stuff like that.
But this isn't the podcast to talk about calendars in the sky.
That's your podcast.
That's over on Our Week in 10. I could just take this over and we'll talk calendars and skies. We could, you know, realistically, you and I can talk calendars and skies.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, and we do, just not while we're recording, except for several of our episodes.
except like our first one.
And so you'd be like, look, guys, and then start talking about the sky and then be off to the races. But no, here we are. And it's instead this friendly coffee morning banter.
That's what changes everything. Seems like forever ago that I said this, but it was probably like two episodes.
It was like, yeah, because we don't record often.
It's just so different. It's a totally different vibe to be recording. Like today, it's like first thing in the morning.
Mm-hmm. 7 a.m. We've been up for an hour and a half and barely done anything except laid around and talked and drank a little coffee. And now we're like in the basement. It's kind of cold. Mm-hmm. It's frosty, foggy, creepy fog.
It's that weird fog, man.
I am afraid of fog now. I think it's an official. I get anxious when I see that it's foggy.
Did you finally watch John Carpenter's The Fog?
No, I saw that years ago. It's spoiler not because of that. No, okay. It's because of that Simpsons episode where they get turned into inside out.
Inside out.
No, it's clearly because, well, I don't know, 3 years ago? Was it 2020?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, when we all got so sick.
There was this really weird fog, and it coincided with what they said was a volcanic eruption off the coast. It's like
Hawaii.
Tongan volcano eruption, something like that.
Tonga. To ring a bell.
And this fog moved in from the coast here, and I shouldn't say coast because we live in a bay, but from the water, you know, from the ocean side, from the water. And it was like not the right color. Like fog is supposed to be grayish blue around here anyway. This was like an orangey color, and it was thick, and it never left all day long, and it stayed through the whole day, and we all got sick. And any time I talked to anyone I knew that lived on the West Coast, they were sick.
Like I actually don't think I got sick.
You were sick.
Did I get sick?
Yes, but you were sick in your way.
Yeah.
And the kids were sick in their own, you know. Well, I think we didn't have two yet.
It was one of those pregnant times. No, that was definitely post-2020.
We had a baby.
But it was one of those, because everyone was saying it was COVID.
Right.
Everyone was saying it was
COVID. I know. And I'm like, well, I don't believe in that. I don't necessarily believe in viral theory anymore. What is it making us sick? And there's this fog that's just lingering.
And why is nobody getting that sick this time? You guys were saying we were dying last time.
Well, and this too is everybody was different sick, you know?
Yeah. It was like everybody's body expressed itself however it needed to. Yeah. That's all freaking fascinating. It's very curious, actually.
I know. So I was curious as to what would possibly be causing that.
I like that for a segue.
You did good. And I was going to nod and draw attention to it and just go with it. But I think we only draw attention to segues. So yeah, I was curious about that. And so ever since then, I've been curious about fog and thinking about it. And like today's fog looks pretty run-the-mill typical. It'll probably burn off. It's kind of a grayish blue color outside. And I'm okay with it. But yeah, curiosity, right?
Yeah, it's been coming up a lot lately. The first of recent synchros of hearing it wasn't a synchro yet. Well, I guess it was even then. Listening to Crow, and he had Bart Sabrell, good old Bart.
Like a recent episode?
Yeah, recent episode. I was like, you know, I don't really care about Bart Sobrell, but
you haven't. You haven't listened to anything from him for a while since his book.
Since I talked tour. To him.
Yeah.
Yes, then that was his book tour. And it was with Crow. And I figured if anybody's going to be asking some fascinating questions, it's Crow. I was correct, but that's not what I was so fascinated by at this moment. It was that Bart Sobrell brought up the lack of curiosity, the incuriosity of people today, just as a whole. He had some story about wearing a pin that said something goofy, and he carried like $100 in his pocket that he was going to give to someone, the first person who asked him what the pin meant. And he still has that. He doesn't wear the pin anymore because it got old. And he was kind of going on about the incuriosity of the people around us. And that is like, man, it kind of cuts at the root of a lot of the things that I have a hard time with in our world as it is today. Titular line. And, okay. You go to the doctor and you got a problem and they want to prescribe you a answer, a solution right out the gate. But there's a lack of curiosity as to what's actually going on. Right. You say, I have a headache. They say, let me prescribe you ibuprofen. Okay.
Yeah. I suggest I know that's get not some I'm going to tell you to go get some Tylenol.
Yeah.
Like, and if the headaches are worse than that, then we can talk again.
There is no curiosity from your fucking doctor.
So what is causing the headache?
Well, really? What's going on in your life? What are you eating? What
are you drinking enough? Yeah, you're getting enough salt.
There's your first one.
Yeah.
Are you hydrated?
Yeah.
How much water are you drinking? You know, that's a great question. That's the first thing I will ask you, or you will ask me, if we say to each other we have a headache. Have you drank enough water today?
And really, you can look at a person and see if they're dehydrated a lot of the time.
If they're not, these doctors are so incurious.
Curious, right? So, I mean, and that's like, for me, that was what really broke things open when our son had the anaphylactic response to peanuts at 18 months old, which I've talked about a million times on podcasts. I went to a doctor. They told me to go to an allergist. I went to the allergist and I was like, finally, I'm going to see somebody who like knows stuff about allergies and cares about what causes
them. Someone whose passion in life must be allergy.
Yes.
Because they do this for a living.
And so you go to the doctor and they're like, oh, I don't, we don't know what causes them. And it's like,
this is what you avoid.
Pushing you out the door, avoid the top 8 allergens. Here's an EpiPen. You know, call us if you want to see us again. Have a nice day. Okay. And then like, wait, how does the testing work for allergies? When you do a blood test, what do you test? You're testing the blood. Oh, okay. Like, no curiosity into like how it works, not really a full understanding how the blood test works. And then realizing how compartmentalized the medical system is, to where it's like each aspect of it, you send something away from testing. The doctor doesn't understand how that testing works. No. They just trust the information they get back.
He's incurious. He's not, there's no part of him. Like that doctor, if you ask a question about how the testing works to the doctor is likely to get a little frustrated with you, if not straight up mad at you.
Yes.
Because he doesn't know and he doesn't care.
And he also doesn't want to, one, be bothered with questions, and two, be made to look stupid because he doesn't know the answers easily.
If we just like shift this completely over with the same type of thing, but in a completely different industry, to try and demonstrate this as best I can, switch that over to a cook in a restaurant.
Yeah.
And, the patron, the consumer, tastes the steak and they say, oh my gosh, this is the best steak I've ever had. Can I speak to the chef? And they speak to the chef and they say, this is the best steak I've ever had. Where did it come from? And they're like, from the fucking fridge, you piece of shit. You really pulled me out from behind the line for that.
Yeah.
You know,
Food Service of America.
Like, it came from the farm.
Yeah.
Like like there's a really good chance. I mean, there's also a really good chance that they will be a curious individual. Well,
because this isn't across the board every person in any one generation. It's just a trend we seem to be noticing that more and more people are less and less curious.
And as I say this, I guess I'm picturing a nice restaurant if you're ordering a steak.
Yeah.
Try doing this at McDonald's. Ask them where they got their meat. You know, like
from corporate.
Yeah, like ask as a sausage connoisseur. Right. As someone who loves to make sausage and eat sausage, I don't really do it anymore. But when I was in my 20s, I had some balls on me when I went into a restaurant and I would ask almost every time, anytime the sausage was even mildly decent, I'd ask about the sausage. Mm-hmm. And I'd usually get a brand. That's like the answer that most people would get.
And good enough, right? Like,
which is good enough. It tells me everything I wanted to know. Cause really I'm trying to push. Did you guys make this?
And it's almost like no.
Yeah.
Like, it's we're at like a shitty breakfast restaurant in like a small town. You're like, oh, did you guys make the sausage?
Yeah. And that's the question you don't ask. Cause that could be offensive, right?
Yeah.
To the chef. Like
you say, where'd you get the sausage? Where's the sausage
going? May I ask what kind of sausage this is? And they'll say it's breakfast sausage. And you go, yeah, but I'm wondering, where did you get it? And then it's usually to the back and then back out. And they say it's Icerno's they'll say a brand name or maybe just from Food Service of America.
It's like Jimmy Dean's, the skinless chubs that you microwave.
Yeah. Then they're saying that they don't know.
Yeah. Cause that's embarrassing,
but it kind of tells you everything. If they say, I don't know, it tells you everything. Okay. But this is 20 years ago. I'm talking.
Yes. Right?
I'm not talking about today. And I don't really eat out today. So I am really realizing that this is completely falling apart on me as an example. I'm going to keep going anyway and pretend like I eat out.
Okay. So today you go out and you ask questions at a restaurant, even a nice restaurant.
I know. Yeah. I don't. We'll keep it in like the mid level.
Yeah. Above diner level, above McDonald's.
Above McDonald's, above Denny's.
Yeah.
But not highly above Denny's.
Sure. Like a local place, like a one off place.
Well, yeah. One off, not a there chain. Not yeah. a chain. And you ask these questions. I feel like it would just make any server that I've seen in the last 4 years crumble under themselves.
It's easy to take this argument or whatever it's called that we're doing this discussion and focus on the younger generation, because I see it a lot in actually kids that are in around our oldest age, which is 10. He himself is a very curious individual. Mm-hmm. Our son needs to know the answer to lots and lots of questions to be able to wrap his head around something that he's learning. Like you said the other day, you were listening to an R. Stevie Moore song that used the word irony.
It's called irony.
Yeah. And he needed to know what that meant. And a lot of other people would just listen to that and maybe even memorize the song and sing along and not even question what that word means.
Yeah.
Until maybe they're confronted with it.
But it's saying the word over and over again. And he is like, and he is singing along.
Yeah.
Right. It's a very catchy little tune. And he's like, Dad, what is irony? And I had a hard time answering. Like I just couldn't find the right words in the moment. So I kind of stumbled over it and Moore gave him some examples. And then I tied it off by saying, basically it's when something turns out to be the opposite of what you thought it was, or just not what you thought it was going to be.
Yeah.
I was like, cool. And continued listening to the song. I think the song was over and we were on to something else then. But then the next day, not speaking to me, he used the word ironic.
Uh-huh.
And correctly.
Yes.
And I like interrupted to say, you know, that was correct usage. He's like, I know, you know, yeah,
like
you told me like yesterday.
Vocabulary has always been his thing.
As I had left that conversation, go, man, I didn't do a good job explaining that.
Yeah. Know, like, no, he had a full understanding. But, and I was like, but you didn't ask him if it's like rain on your wedding day. It's a free ride when you're already late.
And I was like,
it's good advice that you just can't take.
What are you saying? I don't understand this.
It's like 10,000 spoons when all you need is a knife.
Yeah, these are kind of examples.
It's like meeting the man of your dreams and then meeting his beautiful wife.
And then you told me it was an Alanis Morissette song. And I was like, oh, you know that? I was so cool.
You don't have that memorized.
But I was busy memorizing Cannibal Corpse lyrics.
And then I said I was so cool that I told you it was a Wesley Willis song.
Yeah.
So if anyone knows who Wesley Willis is, you'll understand that joke and realize how rad I am.
It is. It's way cooler than was mesmerizing Campbell.
Alanis Morissette. So anyway, it's interesting because a lot of the kids that are peers with our son who was curious about that word and then using a word, you know, obviously you curious about something, you learn about something, then you apply it to your life. You see it in other areas. All of a sudden he has a better understanding of language when he hears that word come up in passing, where he doesn't have time to like actually ask. He has a better understanding of those things, you know, all the time, right? Mm-hmm. His peers are not that a lot of the time. Some of them are, and we hang out with even like a weird group of people because we hang out with,
because we're like kind of weird.
No, I don't know if anyone noticed. Why did you have to tell them? we hang out with other people who are also homeschooling, or other people who are in the alternative community, other people like in the freedom community, and they just have their kids have a different awareness than regular public school kids that barely talk to their parents, right? Mm-hmm. But not all of them. We also have neighbors and we have people we meet at the park and other things. So observing those children, they usually want to like shut you down when you like pose a question, because our style of parenting really is our style of living, which is just to kind of like pose an open-ended question. Maybe we think we know the answer to it already, but say it first so that everyone in the area can like consider it and give their two cents. You don't start a conversation by telling the right answer to something. And so that's how you get a kid thinking, right? And then these other kids will be like, no, it's this. Like, I already knew it. And they're like kind of mad that you're like questioning it and that you don't already know. And it's like, oh, you're just not curious. You just don't want to explore this. You want there to be a right answer that you memorize and you can tell people you know it, because that's where you get the cookie. And it's like, that's such a shit way to train people. And that's the way our public school system is bringing up kids and training them in that aspect. That's the way the work system, college, trains kids. Memorize the right answer. The right answer is the earth is round. The right answer is we went to the moon in 1969. The right answer, is it actually 69?
68.
I was 68. I don't know. One of those things. The right answer is the date. That's right. That they say, but not that like, what if we didn't go? Or, you know, how do we know the earth is round? Or any
how do we know that it's a 250,000 miles away? You know, like, yeah. Like just asking questions. Questioning something that you've already been told the answer specifically. Sure.
Yeah.
Like, we've told you the answer. The pyramids are this old, right? So if you say, well, then how did they build them at that time? They're like, what? Fuck you.
Yeah. You know, right? Like, well, and especially when you're discussing these kind of questions with an expert and you come from the really, I don't want to say rudimentary, but I don't actually know, but like the really rudimentary peanut, the really base level of knowledge and understanding, and you start to ask questions, like beginner questions, and they just get frustrated. It's like
That's an interesting thought that put in my head there of the beginner questions. What a lot of people in this type of realm are doing is we're asking the beginner questions as adults. And that is so frustrating to people who have never asked if we live on a globe, because they saw it in Tom and Jerry
when we were kids and Looney Tunes cartoons.
It's like they program you with certain answers from such a young age that when you ask if it's true later, it makes you retarded sounding.
Yes.
Because like, well, you don't even need to learn that. You just look around you and you know the answer to like everything that's on that basic
level. Well, if you're taking that like at school of thought, then you're like, you know, anvils smash coyotes all the time, you know, like that's the same, right? Same shit you see on cartoons, well, you know, Roadrunner.
So, but the truth is, okay, if that was something they wanted to program us with, we see it in cartoons. And then if there were more suggestions throughout our lives that in the New Mexico area that anvils drop out of nowhere on coyote heads, then we would all be a little afraid to be in the New Mexico area because anvils could fucking fall on your head. Yeah, right. Like, and maybe even we could keep New Mexico unoccupied.
Right.
Because that's a possibility. And it all comes from as we see it, as we can see it in this example, because it's just a stupid Warner Brothers cartoon, that all of that could come from the programming of just a stupid Warner Brothers cartoon. Right.
So it's like, okay, so there's more examples too of this, is like even people's lack of curiosity about the way their body functions. And the we talked about from the doctor's perspective of not being curious, but you can talk about the average patient's perspective of not being curious. They give you this pill. How does it work? I don't know. I'm taking it. They told me to take it. Yeah. It's like,
they gave me a blood thinner. Oh, really? Cool. What does that do? Well, it thins my blood. Yeah, but how does it do that? I don't know. And why do you need thinner blood? Because so arteries it doesn't
get stuck up like stuff, in there and jammed in there. Blood pressure.
Because I don't eat well. Fuck you. Leave me alone. Yeah, it's just a pill.
Okay, so if you take it to say somebody who's going through something that's a pretty basic normal human function that most half of our population may or may not go through, pregnancy, and you hear them talking about how they have to do blank, blank, and blank. And you say, why do you have to do that? Well, my doctor told me to. I have to have an ultrasound at 20 weeks. I have to, you know, like eat a certain diet. I have to do the glucose test or whatever. And you ask why.
The depths of this. You're asking the patient these questions.
Yes.
And they don't know. But the truth is they ask their doctor.
The doctor doesn't know. They don't truly know why they're taking this test. And then if you say, okay, so you're taking the glucose test, which for people that don't know is drinking a bottle of sugary syrup and then checking your blood sugar 2 hours later in a lab. And that's supposed to tell you if you have gestational diabetes or not.
Doesn't that give you diabetes?
Yes, it does. So that's the paradox, of course. But that's one of those questions you're not supposed to ask. No, you're just taking it once. It's a test. It's like, what's in the drink? I don't know. It's fucking orange. It tastes like orange soda, like concentrated orange soda with no carbonation. It's fucking disgusting. God, that sounds horrible. It's like Gatorade concentrate that didn't have water added to it. Ugh. And no salt. And it's like not good. And it's like,
the more you talk, the less appealing.
I know. Why does it have color added to it? How does that affect your blood sugar? The color in it, not just the sugar. And people are like, what? It's just about sugar. You're just checking your blood sugar. It doesn't have anything to do with it. It's orange, or that there's like orange number 12 or whatever in it.
Yeah.
And they get frustrated.
How could orange number 12 possibly affect my fucking health? It's a goddamn food color.
And I don't actually know if orange number 12 is a thing.
I know.
But yeah, I just want to make sure anyone listening is clear. Yeah, I don't know some cool stuff.
But food, what would food coloring have to do with my health?
Oh, too. Like, I mean, because, okay, so they talk about sugar causes hyperactivity in children, and it's pretty easily accepted because people say kid has the birthday cake, kid gets hyper. It makes sense. We eat sugar, you know, we get a little bit more energy, maybe have a drop, get grumpy. We think it makes sense. But what is coming with the sugar? The kids are usually having food dyes with the sugar. What if it's the food dyes that cause the hyperactivity? Ooh. Right? And there's actually been studies done showing that artificial food dyes, especially the red ones, do have an effect on kids' attention spans. And so you can start to dig into any tiny little aspect of something when you're curious, and you can learn so much more about the overarching. And usually if you're like us, you come to the conclusion of you can never know everything. And then this, like, you go through this, like, feeling depressed about that into this beautiful acceptance of just what things are and just being able to explore them. And it's like fun and interesting, but other people just get so angry and they don't want to know. And so I really find it when I'm trying to interact with normal people in the wild, like, like at a grocery store, and like, oh, how is this thing made, or where does this come from? Or, you know, why is this product different than the one you used to carry? Or, you know, like any kind of question at grocery. Oh, I don't know. I've never, you know, the person that's never thought that. Once in a while you get a rare gem of a person who's curious, and you have a great conversation, and like you immediately connect with them.
That's the thing that I kind of want to stress as we talk about this, is that there is another side of this coin, which is we're curious, you and me.
Yeah. Right?
And I'd like to think that every single person listening to this is curious.
Right.
Right. So there is, to say everyone, which I may have said 10 times already,
probably,
is incorrect. It's absolutely incorrect. I'm being hyperbolic when I say that, you know, and there is an absolute chance that every time you, whether you walk into a doctor's office or whether you, run into someone in the produce section at the grocery store, that they're a curious individual as well.
Yeah. Something to note that's really interesting, is that just because people see eye to eye with us, or, you know, close to it on other issues, and they're like awake to certain things, like what I'm referring to is people in our freedom community, you think that because they know these things that they're also curious, And that is not necessarily the case. Mm-hmm. We have met many people that are really involved in the freedom movement that are not curious. Yeah. When we talk about anything outside of what they've already decided to be true, it's uncomfortable for them.
It is, to me, a phenomenon that that's even possible. It's like if you said like the truther community.
Yeah.
You know, you'd think on its face, calling it the truther community, people who are into truth, would be like,
they're just
curious
to explore all the things they thought they already knew.
But how many people are a truther when it comes to 9/11, but they went and got the jab?
Or you talk to somebody and you bring up flat earth and they start to get really, really mad.
Yeah. Holy shit.
That's literally, I remember an episode where that happened. It was awkward. You're like, you did a really good job and the person you were with did a good job, but they were really heated about it. And it was weird. And it was like, cause I also don't think that the earth is flat, but I really just like to think about it and explore it. And I'm not mad that other people might think it.
Yeah.
You can also even see that it might be partially a psyop where they've taken the idea and they're making fun of it. You know what I mean? There's avenues for you to find online where
if I'm remembering, was that about Margaret Sanger that you're talking about?
I think so.
Yeah. They actually said something that really made me think, and it could have been a great conversation if I felt like they were curious enough to continue it within my paradigm, because they said that David Weiss's flat earth app was a form of mind control because it's repeating and showing you. And, you know, and I was like, oh yeah, okay, you got me. Like, let's talk about this. But they moved on immediately from that and went on to just more bullshit arguments about globe earth being true. And it was just like, okay, whatever. We got to move on. We got killing babies to talk about.
I know. That reminds me, you should invite me on your show to talk about neo-Malthusianism.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Yeah. So anyway.
All right. Are we done here? Can we play ourselves out? Let's do a different. No, I want to stay on this topic because it's just been coming up a lot in my life. Not just out in the field, boots on the ground work out there when I'm talking to people, and I like kind of blows my mind like it did Bart Sobrell, like I was describing. Like, I don't know, like I wear weird t-shirts sometimes, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
I listen to weird music, right? Like if anybody listens to Our Week in Tent, you know that stuff I play at the fucking end of it? That's like what I'm actually like cranking in my car when I'm driving around.
Those are all his favorite songs. It's so cute. I love listening to your show just to get to the end to see what you decided related to what you're talking about.
And it's all stuff you know.
I know. And like, I understand why you picked what you picked because of one line that's in the song or something.
But I'm playing, I'll be playing weird music. Once upon a time, I remember one time I was playing something and a bunch of skateboarders were at a stoplight right next to me on a warm day. It was like first day of spring kind of shit. My windows were down and I was playing something and like it caught their ears and they're like, what the fuck is this guy listening to? Dude, that guy's a total fucking fag. Let's fucking get him. And it was like, just then the light turned green. I fucking go. Obviously that was at least 2 decades ago.
I know, right? They called you like, the F word.
Yeah, right. Like none of that would happen anymore. But see, that's it though, is the lack of curiosity.
They don't even notice you're listening to music or that you look like a fag.
Yeah, in none of it, because they're not curious about the people around them. They're not curious about the condition of the humans who are around them. And the human condition is like kind of like all we have a lot of the time, right? And when we completely block that out, what the fuck are we doing, people?
Well, when you have no curiosity about your fellow man or people who are different than you or have different ways of thinking or know different things, it really lines you up for just like genocide is going to be just super easy. Like, do you think like if the Nazi stuff went down the way they said it did, do you think that the people in town there were had curiosity about what their local Jewish community and why they think what they think?
Okay. So this is why this is such an important topic, really. Like I hadn't thought about it I knew it was important. I knew that talking about it would unveil it, but that I think would be the point of how they got to where they got the Weimar Republic and all of that. And the fucking, just the beating down of their people to bring them to a point where they had a lack of curiosity to the point where, well, you're killing that guy, but you're not killing me. Not my problem. You know?
Yeah.
Like you're, I mean, and like maybe we're getting there. Maybe we're there. I feel like we're past that.
Well, I mean, that's why 2020 I mean, was able to happen.
That. We're not doing that.
They didn't ask any questions. They just said, exactly. Oh, cover your face, stay 6 feet apart. Okay, got it. Like, and then anyone outside of that doing something else that was questioning it was a threat to them. And then these ideas that they had already made. And because the common answer was to follow the directions that they were getting on the news, that anyone doing anything outside of that was dangerous.
Like, call me a doomer. You can say, okay, doomer, if you want to this, you or anybody listening. But like, really ask yourself this question. If they were killing people, taking the lives, not COVID, a million times worse than COVID, right? Like, we'll say it is COVID, but they're executing those who don't get vaxxed. Mm-hmm. Okay. Like that exact scenario. Pretend we're in 2021 when everyone's taking Donald Trump's vaccine and fucking there are people who are so mad at the people who are not that they deem that the population will be safer if we kill this person than let them be out there
spreading without, the disease
because we can't force them to take the vax.
No,
but we can force them to not breathe. Right.
So if we, yeah.
Seriously, ask yourself the question, how many people would have a problem with that? And I know a lot would. Like, I'm not trying to paint a picture that's like, yeah, no one would care. No, a lot of people would care. But how many people would not care? If it's anything above zero, because only zero should not care.
Yeah.
If it's even one out of 100, if it's 1% or, 0.0001%, like if it's anyone, there's a problem here. And I think that if I seriously ask myself that question, 50% might be high, but I want to say 50%. 50% of people like would be like, yeah, well, they got to do what they got to do, especially if it's being presented with the propaganda. Think about we're propaganda. In 2021.
Well, and especially if they don't have to do it themselves or see it right in front of their faces.
You had our Lord Fauci up on the screen fighting with Rand Paul saying, but every life is valuable. And he's saying, yes, every life is valuable.
And that's why we need to kill
some of these people.
So if you take it into actually what I just talked about, which isn't too far-fetched, but like eugenics and Robert Malthus. He's the one who came up with this original idea in like late 1800s or middle 1800s, where he was like saying that if the population continues to grow at the rate that it is, and we've already reached peak food production, so that line's going to stay as it is, then we're get to a point where we're going to have famine, right? Mm-hmm. And so to prevent a starvation of mankind in these really difficult times, we need to curb the population growth. And to curb the population growth can go two ways, positive or negative. The positive would be you're doing something about it, and the negative would be like you're stopping birth from happening, right? So like abortion.
Positive is execution. Negative is prophylactics.
Yes. And so he didn't actually believe, I think he was a religious dude because of the era he was in. He didn't actually believe in abortion or anything like that. So it was like all about abstinence and like sterilization, possibly. I can't remember if he was into that or if that came after him. But then, the way people ran with this idea and what is where it like merges with eugenics and like what Margaret Sanger was doing was stopping people from having babies by any means necessary, including sterilization, and them separating the world out into saying these are the eugenics comes in and saying these are the people that we want to breed and these are the people that don't deserve to breed. Mm-hmm. We don't want them to carry on their genes. We don't want poor people. We don't want retarded people. We don't want deaf people. We don't want blind people. It's like they looked at even like Black people were in this group. They looked at them like they were different than us, animals. And if you were a curious person, you could stop yourself and start to say, well, what are those people like? You know, what are their lives like? You know, where do they find happiness? Why would we want to pick them to be in that group?
The groups. Okay.
Yes. Gotcha. Yeah. So that's what I was getting at. So like if we separate these two groups out and we start to pit them against each other, which is like the whole plan for like world domination is to split us into groups and have us not understand each other.
Divide.
You have to take curiosity out of the equation. Otherwise, people start to be curious about why are we doing this? And is this the right thing to do? And should I like ask my neighbor, how he feels about something or what he's into and get to know him as a person? Yeah,
exactly. If you have two groups, if you got left side of the street, right side of the street people or whatever, right? And they're kids that are curious. They're curious. Well, what are they doing over there? They have a trampoline over there. mean, I know we got four wheelers over here and they're pretty fun, but I'm really curious about that trampoline. But if you make it so they're incurious, if it's like, I don't like anything that is not in front of me and is not accessible to me. The trampoline's bad because I've never been on it, and vice versa. The kids on the trampoline are looking over and saying that the kids with four wheelers are bad.
Yeah.
Because that looks scary. That looks dangerous. And the other ones are saying that looks pussy, or that looks dangerous. You could fall off that thing and break your neck. Like, at least with a four wheeler, I'm controlling it, or whatever. Like,
and then you never realize that jumping on a trampoline is really fun. And so is riding a quad.
But like, you know, it's the shit setting up a ramp.
I like when you said shit, I was like, I knew we were going with it. I was like, somehow jumping on a trampoline with a quad. And that's where it really takes the cake. Driving a quad at the trampoline park.
See, if everyone just came together with their curiosity
and just like merged,
we would kill all the
children. Well, and that's actually a good point, as silly as it is it's like, doesn't mean that everything that you're going to discover from other people or other ideas are going to go together.
Yeah. They're not going to go together. They might not even be good ideas.
And they might not be good things. And you might, dig them out and realize that you don't agree with it and that it's not for you and you think it's dumb.
Maybe you get over to the right side of the street and you jump on that trampoline that you've been looking at and being so curious about. And you're like, nah, I could take it or leave it.
Yeah.
You know, like, not every kid, I don't know. Does not every kid love a trampoline?
I mean, eventually you might be like, yeah, I've done that before and it's not my thing.
Uh-huh.
You know? And so I don't know. Like, you don't have to like the things or believe the things that you're curious about, but just exploring things and like, especially when you're questioning the things that you already thought you knew.
Yeah.
And you're like, where did that knowing come from? How did I get to that point where I know this thing? Mm-hmm. And what are the other things around it that maybe contradict that? And you know, what do I feel? And you might come out the other end still knowing that same thing. Mm-hmm. And you might change your mind and you might change it again. And it's all okay. I think people have this really weird attachment to having the right answer. And I think that is part of the program because that doesn't come from nature.
No.
Wonder and excitement and like interest comes from nature. Schooling teaches you to know a right answer. Mm-hmm. And where does the right answer come from? But the elites that are trying to control us, you know what I mean? And so like, that's who writes the history and who tells us what's happened. And I don't know. They're all very curious. Now, like, can we talk about a saying that's very common, everyone knows?
Curiosity killed the cat.
Curiosity killed the cat. Because I said that this morning, and you said that you've thought of that as like being valid. And yeah. Why?
Like, okay, so for like, I'm not necessarily speaking as the woke person, awakened person that I am today, but just in my life, I've always thought that phrase has a lot of validity to it. And you were, just to point out before I say, you were suggesting that was part of the programming.
I was asking the question, right? Because I was curious that is curiosity kills the cat. Is that them programming us to not, you know, reminding us that it's dangerous to be curious, right?
So I think that it is dangerous to be curious. Oh boy, I'm taking the fucking contrarian point of view here now.
Where did we go?
No. Okay. So that phrase, as I heard it as a child and through my, you know, 20s and, you know, and all the way up to today, there is a little bit of validity to it. But I could be misinterpreting it. Right. But that is that, when you're curious about something, that's good, but curiosity can also kill you if you take it too far, whether it be literal of, you know, like, okay, the power goes out in my house. I need to be curious. I have to be curious because if I just, power's not working, you know, a week later, it's still not working. It turns out everyone else in the neighborhood has power. Well, it turns out you weren't curious enough. You didn't go look at your breaker, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
So you need some curiosity there. But if you mess with your breaker, everything's fine. You know, you take whatever steps to the point where you're like, nope, something's not right up at the pole. I better get a ladder and, you know, mess with those wires up there, that's going to kill you. That's right? Possibly going to kill you, right?
Sure. Or think about how it can kill you, like, emotionally or whatever, when you dig too far into something that maybe doesn't have a right answer or become obsessed with something.
Yeah.
That you like if flat earth, for instance, you could go totally crazy thinking, I know flat earth is true and this is how I can prove it.
Right.
and you're isolating yourself and you're fighting with
ruining
people
your
and
life.
You're ruining your life.
Yeah.
And so it's like, okay,
it's killing your life. It's going to kill you. So in a sense,
maybe curiosity to a point is a good thing. And then it can also get out of hand, like just anything else.
It's well, it's, you know, really it's where I'm pro black pill is when you understand that curiosity can kill you too. Right. Like I'm pro black pill being like the ultimate curious.
Yeah.
Like that everything is a question. Nothing is real.
We don't know anything.
Oh my God. That's such despair. But if you can accept that curiosity will kill you as well, it's like you understand that you don't know anything. And you basically take the black pill and you go, cool. Now let me move on. You know, like let me not be curious about all of those things all of the time. Otherwise, I'll never have an original thought because I'm too busy with all these other thoughts that I'm having.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, so it's like, I see validity to that, but am I reading into it? I very well could be because I read into shit all the time, right?
Well, I mean, and that's the whole idea though.
And when you look at it, okay, like, so I'm reading deeply into it and I always have or whatever, right? Other people, the majority of people who are less curious, don't think about it. They hear the term curiosity killed the cat and they go, oh yeah, maybe somewhere in their subconscious, it's filed away under don't be curious.
Right. Yeah, no, that's totally
the
simplest deduction of what that would mean. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's like, oh yeah, cats are curious by nature. And some of them end up dead because they want to go see what that car looks like that's moving by or whatever.
I immediately think of Christmas Vacation, National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation. That cat was too curious.
That wire.
It chewed the wire and it paid the price. It literally killed the cat in that case. And, you know, like, yeah, we need to be curious as to what that wire is. If we're the cat and we have our brains, we need to be curious. We need to know where those light, we need to be curious where those lights are coming from, but that doesn't mean we chew at it until we die.
So like, I am like, in curiosity kills the spirit. It like kills your soul. It kills your humanity. It kills your intelligence. It kills your freedom and self thought. Like, it
kills so much of you.
So in curiosity killed the rats. That can be the name of the episode.
Oh, but if only the rats would die. I hate rats.
But aren't you curious about how they live and why they're here?
I am, but man, do I hate them.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I think that it's a much more rich and fulfilling life to be interested and curious in things. Mm-hmm. And I remember something really specific from something very silly that I wrote once a very long time ago. And it's something that you would have read before you started talking to me because we met on MySpace. Oh. And it was in my profile on MySpace. I think there was two things. I said, I enjoyed ice and the liquid that fills the space between the ice.
Yeah.
Because it was really important to me that the glass was full of ice before any liquid went in there. That was the thing at the time. Mm-hmm. Which one of our first Christmases, you bought me an ice maker and it was huge countertop thing and it was noisy and the ice tasted weird.
I spent like $300
on that thing. So cute. Oh, I love him so much. We had it for a long time. We didn't use it very often. Oh, it was so sweet. It was,
man, just, what I could do with that $300 today.
I know, like get gas in the truck or whatever. But
buy a hamburger.
So that was not what I was going to bring up, though. It wasn't the ice in the spaces between. Yeah. It was like, you know, hi, I'm Lanny. I like stuff and I don't like stuff and I like not liking stuff.
Right.
And it was just a joke, but the reality is this is true because the stuff you don't like is curious and it's like interesting and you can talk about it and you can make fun of it and there could be jokes there. And
yes, this all intertwines within this very deeply. It might be a little abstract, but hopefully people can follow along. Of like, I don't like most music. Like we talked about my music earlier, right? Like most people don't like my music and I don't like your music.
Well, you don't like most music.
Like it's a darn truth.
Yeah. Right?
Like, I'm very particular, but I'm inundated with music everywhere I go constantly. Like we all are, right? It's whether it's in the background at a store or it's on your when you're listening to the news.
That's on how
the
radio. I can know the freaking words to an Alanis Morissette song 15 years, 20 years that's later. That's
music. There's also music playing when you're watching the news,
instrumental when you're stuff, listening or to the news.
When you're there's something musical going on, like almost anytime you have any kind of media or anything turned on, and I probably hate it. Right. But I don't sit there and dwell on it. Right. Like I don't get bent out of shape, but I can, boy, can I have a conversation about stuff I don't like.
Oh yeah.
That people, especially stuff that people really like. I don't like Johnny Cash, for instance. Right. But Johnny Cash is everywhere and he's kind of a sacred cow for a lot of people. And if you got, if any of the listeners are Johnny Cash fan, you know, like, sorry.
I like Johnny Cash, but he's not a sacred cow. Willie Nelson is. When you said you didn't like Willie Nelson, that was a difficult moment.
What? Okay. Well, he's the exact moment. Let's use that exact moment. Because that was like early in our relationship.
Yeah, like that was one of the first questions that I asked you through chat on my Zoom.
Was it? Yeah, yeah.
Do you like Willie Nelson? Have you ever been arrested? Do you have any warrants out?
No, I don't like Willie Nelson. In fact, I kind of fucking hate Willie Nelson if I really bear down on it. I think of that Woodstock 99 movie when they had Willie Nelson play first thing in the morning the next day and everybody fucking had the worst day of their life. I'm like, no shit. No fucking shit.
You blame him.
I like hate it, right? But that doesn't mean that when I hear it, I need to like rip on it.
Well, right? Too, and it was, but, it made you curious. Why do you like Willie Nelson so much?
But I also, I was moving off of our exact interaction. I told you, I don't like it, but I kind of like not liking it. It doesn't mean I don't want to hear it when it comes through the speakers. It doesn't mean, and when I say I don't like Willie Nelson, doesn't mean I'm listening to the radio and the second Willie Nelson comes on, I turn it off.
I'm pretty sure I put Stardust on the mixtape I made for you after that.
I know the words to a lot of songs that I don't like. You do too, I'm sure.
Oh, so many. Yeah, I just recited them during this exact podcast. Yeah, I don't like that song. It's annoying.
It's always a conversation.
Yeah.
Like, in fact, I don't know how many times I've said to people, it's usually a more obscure stuff than Willie Nelson, but I tell people I'm so stoked that they're stoked on the music they're into.
People think you're being sarcastic.
I really like that you like this.
And that's so much
I hate it.
Like, yeah, so much of like what I find interesting with people is when they can be passionate about something.
Yeah.
And it does not have to be something that I'm passionate about as well.
Right.
It can be something really weird and you're like you super care about it and nerd out on it. Like a football fan, right? You could be a blind, retarded football fan. I don't mean literally blind and retarded. I just mean like you don't care. You're just like, go team. Local team.
You're not talking Helen Keller being a football game.
No, I'm talking about the average dude that just like watches football on the weekend as an excuse to not be with his family, and he eats hot dogs and eat nachos.
Hates the team till they're winning, then he's always been a fan.
And he's always been a fan when they're winning. And then there's other people who are like into fantasy football, and they know all the statistics, and they know the name of all the different people, and like they know the history of it, and they know when the first Super Bowl was. And
I like that they like football.
Yes, that person who cares that much and who's been that curious to learn all that information.
I've had to say it to so many, three different people actually. So many.
That's too many. We don't know very many people.
I really appreciate their fandom of Fish, the band Fish, and. In all three cases, it's that they really want me to like it. And it's like never resonated with me. Honestly, like Willie Nelson, I hate it.
I have my feelings hurt that you put those two things in the same bucket there.
Yeah, I'm sorry, but it's true. And I do not like it. But all three of those people, and those aren't, I know other people who like Fish, but these three individuals at different stages in my life that I was in, I knew well, they're all deeply into it. Mm-hmm. Like it's not what you hear is what you get. It's like they've listened to stuff over and over again. They listen to live recordings. They go to see them. They have different, like,
I know, I have a relationship with the band.
Yeah, even if they've never met them, they have a relationship.
They know the names of the people and what kind of instruments they use. And yes,
which is very similar to the way I am about like everything that I listen to. Right? Like I don't just there's a few things I kind of surface level listen to, but like most of the things that I listen to, I haven't listened to it twice. I've listened to it 100 times. I've listened to it over and over again because I'm like, I'm a little obsessive about it and I really like it. Now I'm in an advantage in this situation. And that I know that you don't like what I like. Not you.
Not me, because I'm weird.
But too. I know stepping into the room that people aren't going to go, whoa, I'm impressed with what you're putting on the stereo. You know, like if they are, I can almost always tell immediately, you know, like I don't know how many times people have said, oh, Magma, it's an old favorite of mine.
And oh,
it's
God.
Like, and it's like, no, it's not. Like, yeah. I know. Immediately, if it is an old favorite of yours, that's
you're like,
not
whoa, you know, Magma.
Yeah, it's like a big deal. It's like everyone you know is going to hear about this interaction that we're about to have for the next 2 weeks,
right?
And when you say it's an old favorite of mine and you don't have anything else to say, you're lying to me. You're trying to relate to me, you're trying to pretend like you like what I like, and that's fine. I don't know, people are like that, right?
It's like you going up to them being like, how about that sports match this weekend?
Yeah. Are you excited about the Seahawks game this week?
And that's all you got.
That's literally all I got. Follow-up. Personally, I'm not fake enough to pretend like
they're like, it's summertime and it's not actually football season.
But you know, some of the people that I'm talking about are like salesmen.
Sure. I know. That's what I was thinking of, is that guy that sold nuts and bolts.
He literally said shop. Magma. Yeah. That's an old favorite, an old standby.
You were wearing the sweatshirt.
I was wearing the sweatshirt and we were going to see Magma shortly. Mm-hmm. And he didn't hear the music. He was asking me like what I was doing this weekend kind of thing. I'm going to see Magma. Oh, Magma. Yeah. They're like a French progressive rock band. He's like, oh yeah, they're an old standby.
I was like, that
no,
guy?
You're not. No. Come on, dude. Like, you're so high on Oxycontin.
Right now. he couldn't even name Steely Dan when he heard it on the radio.
Yeah. Right. But I'm kind of losing my thread, but I think I can pull it back. I don't expect the other people in the room to get excited when they hear my music. In fact, I expect them to be a little off put by it, and I'm okay with that. I've got 42 years of experience with people like not particularly liking what I like, and I'm totally cool with that. But nowadays, it seems that when I put on anything on a stereo in public, absolutely no comments. Absolutely no. There's like,
at least somebody making fun of you.
Yeah, I used to be able to put on here's one that like people know, right? Genesis. Mm-hmm. A lot of the time when I put on Genesis, people don't recognize it as Genesis.
Because not listening to the radio hits.
They ask a question, I tell them what it is, and then I get made fun of.
Yeah.
That's like that's the formula. I've been going through this. I've done this quite a few times. Okay, people.
Yeah. I think that's a good example, is because the other part of it, the other side of it is, you know, you've made a friend when you put on weird music and the person doesn't necessarily like it, but they're super curious into how you found this band.
Yeah.
And where are they from? And why do they sound so weird? And why do you like it?
There should be, in my opinion, for just about anything I ever play, 100 questions.
Well, especially like when you're listening to Negative Land, because it sounds like a radio show.
Oh my God.
And then it's looping and all this really weird stuff and it's confusing. And you're like, what is happening right now?
I told you about a guy came by my stereo while I was listening to Over the Edge, which is Negative Land's radio program. And it's like, got this guy, it's all cut up. And he's saying, hello, I'm sorry to admit to you, but I suffer from the medical condition known as necrophilia. He's got some association of necrophiliacs, and we're going to be coming into your homes to try and get donations to understand, to better study and understand this disease known as necrophilia, right? Like, this is like for real, like what's coming out of the speakers.
This is an audio collage that sounds like maybe a normal conversation from far away.
When you're up close, it sounds like you're listening to the fucking radio.
Yeah.
And then it's legit radio, terrestrial radio you're listening to.
What FM or AM channel is this?
They should at least ask, what station are you fucking listening to? Right.
Right.
But this was a coworker, came by. He was in front of that for 30 seconds doing what he had to do. Didn't make eye contact. Didn't snicker. didn't get angry. They should
make fun of you and ask if you want to F dead bodies.
they didn't ask me if I'm a necrophile. No. Didn't ask me why I'm listening to, what I'm listening to. Is this the radio? There's like 50 baseline questions just right there, hearing that at all from anyone.
And they're like,
but it's like none of my business.
In their defense, maybe they just didn't want to engage with you.
Now I could understand. I can understand that. And I will give this person in this situation grace, because that particular situation is so fucked up that maybe someone's curiosity is like, I can't
actually talk to this really weird bearded guy. Dude,
if this person hadn't ever met me, yeah, they probably shouldn't be too curious.
I know.
They would be curious.
I don't know. I would be like, what the fuck is this? As long as they're in a public place.
You're a normal person.
or abnormal. But
you're an abnormal person. You're someone who can come into my world and be a part of me. Mm-hmm. But like, you know, I can understand like a goody two shoes person hearing that and being like, I'm going to do everything I can to stay away from this.
Maybe they're so incurious, they don't even know what that word means.
Now there's a possibility. I did not consider that. Maybe it didn't pass through this person's head as being weird.
And if they've been working around you, they should know you're not a necrophile. You're an audiophile. And you're a weird pervert for crazy sounds.
Okay, so that's a real example, and it's really specific. But otherwise, it's just weird music that someone's never heard before. There should be something that comes out of them to the effect of, what is this? What are you listening to? Why do you like this? You know, some basic question that's there. And on the other hand, I am incredibly curious about what other people are listening to. And anytime I hear people listening to music and I don't know what it is, and even if I do know what it is, I probably have something to say. Or if I know what it is, I have something to say. If I don't know what it is, I have a question.
And here's another thing. It's like, you would probably even be curious as to what that person would think hearing this audio for the first time. What's your perception of this?
Of the
listening to your music. 100%. You're curious, and you don't just want them to be curious about your music. You want to know where you can ask them questions about their opinion about it.
I would love a job where all I do is collect data on people reacting to people's emotions based on things like that, right? Like asking questions. I'm so curious as to how this makes people feel. I know exactly how it makes me feel, and I have a feeling it's different than the way anybody else interprets it, right? So, like, I'm really curious about that. But I find that when I do hear other people's music and I have anything to say, it's a negative in a response. Like, if I question, then they feel stupid. And if I comment, I guess they feel stupid then too, because unless it's me. But even then, even when I'm like, oh, Strawberry Fields by the Beatles, I love this song, the response is, okay, what I want to continue with, but I kind of feel shut down at that point, is when I was 12 years old, I took my mom's record of this and I played it backwards on the record player. And she got so mad at me because it ruins the needle.
Yeah.
And that's when I discovered that you could take a thumbtack and put a thumbtack down in the groove of the record, and you could actually hear it playing off of the thumbtack, the one with the little plastic nub on the top,
and
it would resonate through your fingers and you could hear the music. So I started playing the records backwards through a thumbtack, which actually completely destroyed the record, which would probably be worth $500 to me.
I love this song. I ruined my mom's fucking record and learned all this cool stuff.
Inside of me, that's the conversation I want to have when I hear Strawberry Fields, right? Like, I don't know that that's exactly where I want to go immediately, but that's where that potential of the conversation is, like, it's like right there. And all you got to do is talk about it, and the song comes on, and I make the comment, and the response is okay, or maybe even, I don't really like it, and they fast forward.
Yeah.
You know?
Like, right? It's like they thumbs down and you never hear the song again.
It's
never to be played in front of his coworker that bothers him and talks to him about
things. That's the same one. That situation was real with the same person who didn't ask about the necrophilia.
He likes strawberries and dead bodies. I don't know, people. This guy's weird.
Well, the Strawberry Fields thing was 6 months before.
Oh, okay. Strawberries and thud. I mean,
but you know, like my point is that, like, I'm this like I'm so special. I'm like this treasure trove of conversation.
You're definitely like, special.
I know, right? I'm this treasure trove of conversation that's like ready to spill out all the time. And it might not be everybody's bag. You know, maybe not.
Some people, you don't always feel like talking. Other people don't always feel like talking. But, you know, you can read the room and you can tell that when that's the case on a person.
Right.
But this is different. This is a complete incuriosity. It's like ongoing.
It's people don't want to talk to me anymore. Which is why I need a podcast to talk.
Yeah, we had to make friends online because there wasn't any here.
Now, granted, there's a huge part of this that I can't really comment on because of my own personal lifestyles and choices throughout time, which is that I used to get a lot of this conversation in bars while drinking.
Right.
How much of that was me ignoring the social cues of the people around me and still talking anyway? How much of it is me thinking that no one has curiosity today because I'm comparing it to a time when I was in a bar where everyone's loose and drinking and having fun.
Yeah.
And I'm comparing it to grocery stores and workplaces.
Yeah.
You know, I could be fucking way off on all of this, but when I hear people like Bart say what he said, my friend on Instagram, John the Fed had a post about the incuriosities of people these days. When I hear the NPC talk that I hear these days, well, I guess NPC is not really in fashion, but you know, like the NPC concept that's been in and out of the truth or conspiracy world for the last number of years. Like this kind of lines up, the incuriosity kind of lines up with the idea of an NPC.
Yeah. What is an NPC? Well, it's a person that doesn't seem to have their own thoughts, feelings, ideas. They're all just programmed to act a certain way and go through the motions. And that is absolutely something that would not be curious. The character in Zelda that you walk by that's raising the chickens or whatever is
all they're ever doing. They're is raising the chickens. Just,
that's what they're doing. And like, if you talk to them, they'll say the same four canned answers that, you know,
doesn't matter what music you play them. All they have to say is that it's the
chickens. They are not curious about why they have chickens or what if they're in a game or is this real life or, you know, like they're just not curious. And so when you think about us being kind of programmed and we're like into the matrix, it's like the people who don't have questions about what they see around them are the ones that are just happily in this new, I don't know.
I feel like my biggest clue that it's not my environment and partying habits is 2021.
Yeah.
2020 and then 2021.
2020, if there was anyone left that was still curious about things, it told them to shut the fuck up. Otherwise, you can't go back to work. Otherwise, you can't go outside. Otherwise, you can't go to a restaurant.
Yeah. And then by 2021, the lines were drawn and everyone got on their side.
Yeah.
People were still curious in 2020. And by 2021, they made their decision. And a lot of people came back to the curious side a little bit afterwards. You know, a lot of people put on the mask, took the vax, stuff like that. And then afterwards, you're like, oh, I was coerced into it. Yeah, you know, like they kind of acted like they were in the not NPC side the whole time and that they were somehow forced to do what they did. And boy, do those people not like to have the conversation of that you weren't forced to do anything. You did everything voluntarily. You know, I don't think when I say that the line was drawn in 2021 and people took their sides, yes, they did at that moment, but that doesn't make them, no one is eternally curious nor incurious.
Right. You can change at any time. And I'm sure like also, that's not the only time there was that line that was drawn. You know what I mean? There's been so many events throughout history where people just shut off their curiosity, because I think a lot of the time where somebody starts to dig into something that they believe they know and they learn that there could be lies and this could be bigger than they thought, it's too overwhelming for them to accept and they shut down.
We just had this conversation yesterday with a loved family member and something came up where you and me knew what we were talking about and they didn't. And we were kind of smiling and goofing to each other. And they're like, what are you talking about? And we're like, well, John Wayne Gacy.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I was like, don't tell her anything. And then I immediately started saying, John Wayne Gacy was in the Moose Lodge.
And basically, like, it got feathers ruffled just a little bit. And I kind of sealed it off by saying, I listened to this podcast, a multi-episode podcast called The Clown and the Candyman, and it went over, it didn't attempt to tell you anything, but it went over the whole John Wayne Gacy thing and gave you a whole lot of questions, which is to be expected with anything. But what struck me as so interesting is that this was a media sensation and there were this big of questions left open.
And they didn't ever tell us those questions.
We didn't know to ask the questions. So we thought we knew the answers. So a whole nation was undivided within believing a certain story. And now when I examine it all this time later, I'm like, man, we should have asked a lot more questions. And that was accepted.
Oh,
I get that. That's fascinating.
But
as opposed to like trying to ruin our world, like, no, seriously, John Wayne Gacy isn't what you think. You know, like
there's a group of people and like there's more people involved and there's like people out there that did that. You know,
if we do that, if you bombard someone with that kind of stuff, you're taking away their ability to be curious.
Right. And also, and then I'm perpetuating another thing that I believe to be true that I don't actually know because I wasn't there. None of that could even be true.
Right. Right.
Yeah. Just because I have examined something and I think the thing I thought was true is now wrong and this other thing might be true, it doesn't mean I know the truth now. Mm-hmm. It's complicated and it's probably uncomfortable for a lot of people to think that they don't know. And I mean, when you really dig down to like spirituality, you're like, what happens after you die? And people start to try to imagine what it would be like if it was just a black void and it was over and they like get really scared, you know, like it's just uncomfortable for people.
A lot of people, when presented with that type of thought and question, what happens when we die? The immediate, well, that's not for me to know.
Yeah. Well, I'll find out someday.
Which I agree.
Yeah.
That's not for us to know, right? Uh-huh. But it's through deep curiosity that I come to that temporary conclusion. I might not always think that, but other people are so afraid of the curiosity itself that they say, before thinking about it, that's not for me to know.
I think the other thing that is a benefit...
Or I've been told an answer, I go to heaven or hell.
Yes.
Or
the other thing that's a benefit to being curious is that I think when you're curious and you explore things from a lot of different ways... When you get to the point where you're going through something that might relate to that, it's easier for you to think autonomously and not fall into programming. Mm-hmm. So like, for instance, maybe if I think enough about what happens after I die, that when I actually die, I'll be present enough in that moment mm-hmm. that I'll actually be able to move through it in a way that's beneficial for my spirit, if there is such a thing.
Yeah, that's something I've played with a bit in recent times, is like, when we die, does it take consciousness and understanding to navigate our bodies through the stars,
or right,
our souls through the mind?
Because you think about like how most people are dying today, and they're heavy doses of morphine, and they're in hospitals and in foreign places with people that they don't know.
Is that what, you know, like Gnostics talk about it, is the reincarnation trap?
Yes, they're like trapping us in those hospitals. They're like spirit prisons. If you're unaware
and you die, you start over.
Right.
And if you're aware... And you're aware properly, then you can
transcend that.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, yeah, you know, whatever, it'll happen when it happens. But just think about that in your daily life. If I think a lot about what it's going to be like to, you know, have a pregnancy and give birth, and I examine all these different options, and I'm curious about the whole process and why my body works the way it does and what's going on, then when you go to give birth, you're going to be more prepared for it than somebody who's never thought about it at all. Mm-hmm. And that one's hard too. And I mean, especially with the death thing, because it's also just an instinct. But because of our programming, it stopped us from even being able to recognize our instincts.
Yes.
So you have to use curiosity to kind of find yourself back to your instincts, even in a way. I don't know.
Crazy, huh?
Yeah, it is crazy.
I knew this would be a good topic.
I think we did okay.
Yeah. It's one that we could go on again anytime and continue on. It's a never ending one as far as I'm concerned.
But I got bread to bake.
We do have things to do.
We got the kitchen to clean. I'm sweeping.
We're having guests today.
We're having guests.
I'm family.
Family over.
That we never see.
Out of town family.
Ones that are going to be strapped to the teeth as they walk in.
We got guns. They're fucking talking about their underground bunker full of canned goods. It's like,
it's the family that we really care about.
I know,
but we never
talk to them because
they live out of state. So that
yeah.
It takes special times to get
them. And they're not connected on the Instagram. So
yeah. You know. Oh, they're not?
No.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. I think they use Facebook.
They hate Facebook and all that social media. They're completely into Twitter.
They're only into TikTok.
Yeah, they're only
yeah, into whatever one stupid one. But yeah, anyway, this was fun. I'm glad we decided to do this.
Yeah, me too. We need to do it more often. Blah, 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 blah. Lip service. We'll do it when we do it. We love all of you listeners. We love the feedback. We get feedback sometimes, and it's really appreciated, especially when we're being so sparse with these episodes.
Yeah, check in with us if you're interested in the topic, or if you ever want to come in and talk. We'll have a guest again someday.
Yeah, absolutely. We'd love to have some guests. And if you are curious about anything that we think about certain subjects, shoot that to us.
Ask. We might not even know. And then it'll just lead us to be curious about our own ideas.
Yeah, exactly. So you interact with us, we interact with you, and that becomes what the show becomes. So thanks for tuning in. We'll talk to you next time.
Okay, thanks. Bye.